Are you ready to ride a New Year's ship? Tonight in the studio, I'll be Roy, your pilot, host. We have Ben, who's going to help co-pilot this, and the wonderful Miss Rachel S. is also going to be here with us tonight. And as always, our in-flight engineer, Mr. Sean Wilson. Our guest tonight is the wonderful and talented Mr. Raymond Hayden. He is the master of the piano, owner of Maurice the Fish Records. He is the host of the Aquarium Radio Show in Tacoma and the anchor of Strangely All Right TV. How you doing tonight, Ray?
You know, I was doing a lot better until I heard something about you being the pilot. Is that true? Because I want off this damn flight now.
Oh, you're on it for the ride. You're on it for the ride, brother.
All right. Well, hey, at least Sean got me first class, so.
Yeah, you're the entertainment, too. You do realize that. You got to keep us all entertained.
Oh, great. Well, I guess I got to put my clothes back on then.
Oh, no, that's entertaining.
That's entertaining as hell. Right, excellent. We got millions of people out there. You're going to start their new year off right, be on the show, be nude. Do it.
Well, I am so gracious to be on the show. And, you know, and the thing is you guys on the Earthship, you guys are such, you know, you're very giving people. I mean, I noticed just a couple seconds ago that Sean actually put a picture of me up on Facebook. And it was on the National Geographic site. It said something about, yes, the Loch Ness Monster does have one eye.
So sweet.
Yeah. Hey, this isn't a sweet show, lady.
You watch it, buddy. It's only going to progress from here.
I'm not even sure what to follow that with. The one I never... No, I'm not going there. I'm not going there at all. So... Anyway, meanwhile, back at the ranch in Montana, while Grandma beats off the Indians with a spoon. Okay. Yes. I don't know. The greatest hits of mine just played again.
In your head?
Yeah.
Oh.
That's what that silence was in the room, couldn't you tell?
Oh, yeah.
No one could follow that.
No one could follow that? I was lost.
I'll promise to be on my best behavior tonight.
Please don't. That's no fun.
Okay. Clothes are coming back off again.
And I don't like it when you lie, Ray. I don't like it when you lie.
I'm not exactly sure what this means, but it looks like I just got blocked by Sean. Not sure what that means.
That means he loves you.
Oh, either that or the alimony payment didn't make it to his mom. I don't know. Right. Ooh.
Ooh. Who's on point tonight?
Ouch. Ouch.
I've raised that young man to be a tough son of a bitch, so he's good. His favorite color is orange, but we all know about that.
And his favorite letters are D-O-C.
Yes. Yep. They don't give you a choice.
No, they don't. Rachel's going, so, what?
I'm trying to follow, but I'm in coach
His Facebook picture, he's in orange and it says D-O-C on the back, is in Department of Corrections.
Gotcha. Right.
Yeah, there you go. All know it. Yeah. Those of us experienced no DOC.
Someday.
You haven't been to DOC
yet. I still have time.
Yeah, you still got plenty of time ahead of you. So tell us about what's going on out there in the Great Northwest.
Well, before I do tell you what's going on out there in the Great Northwest, I will tell you that I am, as you guys were talking and I'm listening to Rachel's voice, I'm drawing this picture of her in my head, and she's hot. She's about 6 foot tall, red slinky hair. She's wearing a kilt. Am I getting close?
It's so close.
So close.
No. So close.
Right on.
Yeah. So, all right. So what's going on in the Pacific Northwest? I'll tell you what's going on out here. There is, as you guys know, the music industry has just taken a bloodbath. It's taken a beating like no other. And everyone's trying to figure out what do we do? Do we sell CDs? Do we sell download cards? Is music free? Does it have a value on it? Who to be pissed off at? iTunes or Spotify or whatever. And you know what? In the meantime, one thing that a lot of people aren't realizing, everyone's artists and venues and radio stations, periodicals, and anyone who wants to talk about music, radio stations, bloggers, whatever, one thing they lose sight of, and I'm going to blow your mind, is no matter what, whether music has a value, whether it's intrinsic or whether it's monetarily, whether people are buying CDs or not, guess what is still going on?
What?
Artists are making music. They're so... I know, I blew your mind.
It's all about the music, man.
Yes. Thank you, son. I appreciate that. See, I told you I taught that boy well. But yeah, no, it's all about making the music. And if I can be a little bit narcissistic with my label, is this year, you know, our executive staff just got together recently after a label meeting, and we said, hey, we want to come out of the gate kicking, screaming, and doing something that, you know, maybe asking the fans what they want, doing whatever. And one of the artists on our label, Regan Lane, Strangely All Right, he said, hey, why are we asking anyone? Why don't we just go out and do something? And, you know, if everyone just did something and stopped worrying about what everybody else was doing, we'd probably go somewhere. So basically what's going on in the Pacific Northwest is, I can only speak for ourselves, but Maurice Fish Records, anyone who's affiliated with us, we are basically, we just had the flyers and everything printed and getting ready to add on our website, that we're going to go out leading just one message. Hey, we got new music. We're not going to focus on, you know, whether you buy it or not and how you get it, whatever. We're just going to put out new music. And, you know, it's kind of like that Kevin Costner film, you know, Field of Dreams. You guys familiar with that?
Yep.
Build it and they will come.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? I seriously think the fans are like, they're like, if I could use a metaphor of children and we're the parents. Well, the children don't want to hear mom and dad arguing all the time. They just want to freaking do something. You know, they want to go to Disneyland or get an Xbox or whatever. And so the Pacific Northwest is basically going to do, we're just out here putting out new music, and we're going to try to figure out creative ways and shows that actually mean something other than a couple bands going, hey, dude, let's put a show together and charge $2, man. But hey, let's put some shows together that people actually want to fucking come see and charge $15, and they'll pay for it and whatever. So when you ask me what's going on in the Northwest, I'll tell you what, a match is just lit, a stick of dynamite. Come January 1, that bad boy is going to explode, and the Pacific Northwest is going to be, it's going to be reminiscent of what it used to be back in the day, back when Little Bill and the Blue Notes and all those groups, back when, you know, I mean, back in the 90s when all the bands like Alice in Chains and Stone Temple Pilots, Pearl Jam, you name it, Queensryche, all those bands got together and share fans. We're gonna do some shit, and then hopefully in the meantime, we're gonna be including our partners like your guys' radio station and, you know, bands from Wyoming and Montana and wherever, and just you know, get the music scene back on top where it should be. This bullshit about, you know, do we pay, you know, like Roy, like we were talking in the pre-phone call about, you know, what's the value of music? Well, if the artists spend their time bitching about, is it, does it, if it's valued or if it's not valued, it's never going to be valued. We just have to put a, we just have to make it be valued. So
yeah, that's, you know, we've been batting that around for a few weeks here at the station and talking about, you know, the actual monetary value of music and looking at the prices of what it sells for online, you know, usually 99 cents a track. How much does the artist get? You know, they get this much if it goes through the sales. They get this much if it goes, you know, through CD Baby or iTunes or whatever. They get a different percentage on all that. But yet none of it's really selling. It's
right.
It's just not moving out there. All the indie artists I know, they make more money selling their music as CDs at their shows. And so the question that's rolling around in my mind, is there a price that you can lower it to where the sales actually start to happen? You know, keep the percentages good and sell four times as many at a fourth of the price, maybe. Maybe that's the formula. I don't really know. I don't have an answer to it, but willing to try it for sure.
Sure.
Definitely willing to try it and get that put out there. And even the shows, like you're saying, I mean, down in Wyoming with Tin Star, and you know, Tin Star works real close with Maurice the Fish on a lot of things. And down there, I quit doing bookings for bars and quit doing bar shows and things like that. What I did was either contract out for some really big shows, or I had one big show that was the show for the county, for that part of the state, every year that I put on. And that show grossed more money than all the other shows combined in the venues in that town for the entire year. And I just did it one time really well and brought a whole bunch of artists in, and it was the thing people looked forward to. So there is a change in mindsets that can happen, and a way to do it. If it's working, do it. If it's not working, that's insanity. Quit doing the same thing over and over and over again, expecting different results.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's what I see. Rachel's sitting here shaking her head. And I don't know if you got a chance to listen to our archive shows. Rachel was on one of the shows as our guest, and she is a very talented artist, without a doubt. And she's shaking her head. What are your thoughts on this, Rachel?
Thanks, Roy. Well, no, I'm just sitting here like, even back in the day, I mean, where the artists make their money, period, to me, in my opinion, is at a show. Whether it be ticket sales or whatever you're selling at your show, music hasn't really been where the artist actually makes money. So that's why I'm shaking my head, because I don't know if you lower it, still the percentage for the artist in particular goes down.
Well, the thing is one thing that I pride myself on is being able to hear different things and being able to twist it a little bit. And you're right, Rachel. Where artists used to make money was doing live shows, touring, and everything that's affiliated with it. And then, obviously, with technology and CDs and all that stuff, and then other ways to get music to the artists, and they started making more money. Then there was, there was 10, 15, 20 years of platinum album after platinum album after platinum album. You know, there was the tape or the 8-track, and then the tape, and then the vinyl, and I mean all that stuff. And where it's come back to, we come full circle, baby. That's right, I called you, baby.
I liked
That's
it.
That's right.
Woo! Yeah.
Rachel and Ray going all day.
Woo!
Anyway, it's come back full circle. And that's why it's so hard for these. That's why these major record companies are you know, bleeding, is because they're trying to get a part of that live action, which is touring and merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that they're not making money with their music, because they're selling CDs at shows. It's just when they're not doing that, you know, online and all this other stuff. And when Roy talks about charging less, now charging less is never, you know, that kind of, in one way, if you look at it one way, it drops the value of music, which we don't necessarily want to do.
Right.
But there is a way to do that, and I think this is probably what Roy was thinking, kind of, is different ways to do that. And instead of spending all the money and then thinking about the recoupability of those costs by doing a full album, you know what? The way to the future is go in the studio, maybe record an EP, whatever, singles. Record singles. Put them out with YouTube videos. There is artists, there is example after example after example of artists out there who are making millions of dollars. Have you guys ever heard of Lindsey Stirling?
I have.
Mm-mm.
Okay, yeah, she puts music out, puts a video with it, and gets millions of hits.
For sure.
You know, it's not so much devaluing the money, but it's doing less. I mean, if you think about it, it makes more sense. Okay, if someone said, hey, Sean, I want you to come play a show for an hour. I'm going to pay you $500. And then the bar across town says, hey, Sean, I got an opportunity for you. It's a 3-hour gig. We're going to pay you $500. Which gig are you going to take?
The hour, obviously.
Well, exactly. The same thing with music, is if you can make the same, basically the same kind of money by just doing singles, you know, and what else do you do? I mean, you can hear me going off like this stuff excites me, but what you do, oh, hold on.
Rachel's hurt. She thought she excited you.
Ah. Well, she did. She did. She did.
I was listening, and then you lost me.
She excites me in a whole different way, intrinsically, manifestically, and in an existentialistic way, which is,
I hope it's motivating, too.
Oh, yeah.
It is motivating. My blood pressure's up, anyway.
Your blood pressure's up?
Yeah, but there's one other thing and we could go all over the place with this, but, you know, by releasing singles, you spread the release of that, of your recordings out. Because what happens when a band, what happens when a band goes out, spends their money, records a CD, has a CD release party? Look at the graph on the excitement of that whole process. It keeps building, building, building. CD release, shoot your wad. The next day, guess what? Another band has a CD release party.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and I know I kind of went off on a different tangent there, but when you talk about, you know, the value of stuff is, you know, instead of putting out an album that gets one bang, you know, record an album and then release them one at a time, put a little bit more extra effort into it. That's a problem, is a lot of artists, they think that just because their music is great and just because their artwork is great and just because they're good people and they've done whatever, and I'm guilty of this too, by the way, that it should come to them. And you all know that it's not that simple. You got to be great. You got to have a great, I call it the four S's. You got to have great song. You've got to have a great sound. You've got to have great style, which means you got to look the part. And then the final thing that wraps all that up is you got to have a great story.
I'm going to back up what Ray's saying on this, for anybody out there that is fallible enough in her thinking to say bullshit on what he's saying. And I'm going to give some credibility on this with Ray Hayden is also a voting member of the Grammy Committee and spends a whole lot of time researching just exactly this, listening to the artists and paying attention to what's going on with the industry. Ray, if you don't mind, I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about your music some. Since that's what we're on here for is you. This is your moment. You can get narcissistic and egocentric and everything else, and we're going to talk all about you.
All about you, baby.
All right.
So this first song we got coming up, Mystic Rhythm, what can you tell us about that? What album is it off of? When did you release it? Inspiration? Whatever you want to say in, I don't know, 7.5 seconds or less.
Well, Mystic Rhythm is a song. It's a metaphor for dreams. It's off the September Sky album that was put out in 2001. The other name for that album is, or not 2001, 2006, sorry, is the Divorce album. Mm. And it represents dreams.
Ooh. Represents dreams? Well, yes. Let's have it, Sean.
Never to be found.
That was nice.
Very.
And I'm not going to say a word about the off-air comments. Nah. But if I were going to say one, someday everybody out there in the world should spend some time in a radio studio just listening in to what goes on behind the scenes, because you know what? I get an education every time.
It gets pretty crazy around here.
I wish we were recording. That was good stuff just now. Yeah. I learned a lot.
That was good stuff.
I was recording.
Anything I didn't learn in human sexuality class or in that alley, I know now, I think.
I thought I found it all out in sixth grade. Till today.
So you're telling me the only virgin's an ugly fifth grader?
Hey.
I'm going to get hate mail for that, but you know what? It's great publicity. I love it.
You know what? Hey, it's all good until someone gets a stick in the eye.
That's right.
Yes.
Or just poked in the eye.
Rachel.
Thank you.
That was an accident.
I'm going to sit back and listen, Rachel. The rest of this show's yours till the next song.
You're on it.
Have it, girl. You take it. Just grab a hold of it hard and run with it.
I'm running with you guys. You can't leave me alone.
We're following. We're going to follow. You're going to take the lead.
Wolfpack needs a leader.
That's right.
Yeah.
You want to show her the way, Ray?
Nice reference. I like that. Yeah, come on, get those $5 bills out, guys. Show Rachel what she's worth. She's on stage.
Make it rain.
Make it rain.
Did someone order a pizza?
Welcome to the Foxy Lady. Well, we've got Bubbles on stage 5 and Princess on stage 2. Rachel's coming up quite soon.
Oh, oh.
Yeah, sorry.
Where were we?
We were talking about local music.
Oh.
I think the Earthship took a nosedive off into, I don't know, somewhere outer space.
Bermuda Triangle.
We're in the Bermuda Triangle now.
Just completely lost.
You were asking me about Mystic Rhythm, and you know, I know you didn't ask me this question, but do you mind if I just kind of conjecture?
You talk to yourself anyway, so ask your own questions.
You don't need
yourself.
Right. Go ahead.
Hold on, I got to make a note right now. Right.
Mental note.
Take Roy off Christmas list. Give Sean his present. All right, sorry.
Add Rachel.
Yeah, mega call.
Oh, Rachel. No, Rachel. Rachel, you get me wrapped up in a
bow.
Bow, bow, bow. I'm a biscuit. Oh, hey. So I'm gonna share something with you guys. You know, and I've done a lot of radio interviews, and no one's ever really spent a lot of time asking me about my stuff. But here's an interesting thing, I think, is obviously I'm joking around with you guys and we're having a lot of fun, and that's great. I mean, that's, you know, Roy, you know me, that's how I am. I love to joke around, and you know what, we're grown ass adults, so nothing's off limits. You know, we're just having fun.
Speak for yourself.
Yes, I am speaking for myself and the other six people in my head. Yes. You know, that sounded funnier when I thought it, but anyway, when I write, there's two parts to me. One side of me is the kind of joking around guy and having fun, and wanting to make people laugh, not because I'm trying to be the center of attention, but because laughter is very healing. But when I write, it's therapy. It's things that I'm thinking about, whether it's things going on with me or around the world or whatever. And I never sit down. I never, ever have ever written a song where I thought about what I was going to write about ahead of time. I sit down, put my hands on the keys, the music and the lyrics come at the same time. And I'll tell you something about that song, Mystic Rhythm, that you just played. Thank you. You asked me to tell you what it was about. Well, thank God I know what it's about now, because when I first wrote it, I was like, what the hell is this about? And I ended up having a director put a video out, which is on YouTube, just Mystic Rhythm under Raymond Hayden. And it took him hearing the song and putting out a music video for me to understand what the hell I was writing about in the first place. So it's kind of nice that half the time I write, I don't know what the hell I'm writing about. So the plus side of that is different people can take it and maybe apply it to things that are going on in their lives that have nothing to do with what I was writing about in the first place.
So how's that different from the next one we're going to listen to is Fly With Me? How's it different from that?
Well, Fly With Me, same thing. I sat down. Fly With Me was the very first song I wrote when I started going through my divorce. And it's basically a song about that reminds you that you should let people know that you care about them before it's too late. And I don't mean before they die, but before it's too late to reconcile your differences and stuff like that. And,
yeah, sure.
And it's a song to this day that it's not my favorite song that I've ever written, but the recording is okay. But the way I play it now, I've actually, because like I said, I write it and I don't even know what I'm writing until it's done. But now that I know what the song's about, it takes everything within my own power to not tear up when I write this song. Because even though I'm with a new, you know, Jessica is the love of my life, and I, you know, I don't want to be married to my ex again, it just reminds me of a time where I might have been able to reconcile something if I had only put my ego aside and just said something, which I think a lot of people can relate to, because a lot of us communicate when it's too late.
Absolutely.
I think that's a really good message out there. Let's go ahead and listen to that, Sean, and we'll be right back, folks.
Did you ever think I would tell you? Did you ever think I'd fall down? And I'm so sorry, but I just can't find my way. And I need you to hold me one more day. I spent my whole life chasing down my dreams. Couldn't believe I wouldn't succeed. I failed to see this life surrounding.
Talking about clothing with long stiletto spikes and bright red colors, and yes, the more of that, you know, off the air stuff that y'all just really want to hear someday, I'm gonna cut it all up and record it and put it out there for a show, and I'm gonna run and hide in a cave.
Just trying to make Christmas sexy, you know.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna have Mad and Damn and Bad and PETA and SPCA and everybody else, People Against Pornography and all those other hate groups of fundamentalist whatever. They're gonna want to kill me. But it's good publicity.
I was just gonna say. Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter one bit. Ray, I love the message out of that song. And for one, for a person who's actually come out there and spent time with you, literally living with you.
Yes.
And yeah. And it just been on that run and that ride. And I know when I leave, you don't stop. And it's just as crazy for me on the other end, just doing things differently. But I mean, let's look at a typical day of when I go out and spend with Ray Hayden. I get up in the morning a little bit earlier because of time differences and stuff and whatnot. So I'm up in the morning around 6 o'clock, sneaking downstairs to make myself a cup of coffee. And guess who's in their office sitting down writing lyrics and on the computer and composing and doing things like that. And I have my coffee and I go outside and he's got this beautiful fireplace where he can sit inside the house or outside, either one, and I fire up the fireplace and I sit outside and I drink my coffee and smoke one of his cigars. That's where they've been going all these years, Ray, as I've been smoking your cigars. And I say hi to the fish on the way out the door.
Exactly.
And I come back in and, you know, I hang out there and do my morning meditations and take care of all my stuff and come back in about 8 o'clock or so. We cook breakfast. We get done with breakfast, unless we go down to, I can't remember the pancake place, the place where we went for pancakes, that coffee shop. It's great. We'll stop by there someplace like that. And then the day begins. And the day begins at warp speed. Think Star Trek flying through the stars and everything's a blur. And by the end of the day, we will have hit at least three venues. We will have talked to numerous musicians, done a radio show. It's 3:30 in the morning. We're at the after party. Then the after party moves to Ray's house. Around 5, we go to bed. 6 o'clock, I'm back up doing it again.
Oof.
And Ray is like this. He goes and goes and goes. Now, he doesn't stay out that late every night, but one of his artists is having a show, he's at the show. If he's not at the show with one of his artists, he's in the studio or on the radio or he's promoting for me. It's eat, sleep, breathe. He's got his time when he does his work. He's got a day gig like everybody else. And when he gets in the vehicle from the day gig, the phone comes on, calls to make, and work starts. That's when the work begins. And it's actually pretty impressive to watch, to be quite honest.
That sounds fun.
You know, now that I hear you say it, there's a phrase that comes to my mind. What the hell's wrong with me?
I was thinking something more along the lines of,
Well,
what's wrong with me? You have a love and a passion that is an inspiration to everybody you come in contact with. That's what it is.
Yeah, for sure.
I appreciate that, man. You know, it's nice to hear, and it's like I told you when you asked me to be on your show. It's like, you know, we joke around as much as anybody else does, but it's kind of nice because I'm very fortunate to have a lot of artists around here and people, and you know, the Coleman Seattle community, which is growing every day, that know who I am and love me and whatever. And some people, they're, you know, you always have the haters out there and people who don't understand. They're like, oh, that Ray, he's full of himself and he's doing that because he's got his own, you know, agenda and whatever. And it's like, you know, my only agenda is that I'm out of my fucking mind because, you know, I love music. I love artists. I love creative people. I love joking around. I love to be able to flirt with a gal and her not be offended by it. I love, you know, and you only find that in this industry. Everywhere else, political correctness is so rampant and whatever. It's just crazy. Artists get each other. Not that we're perfect, but yeah, we get each other, man.
Yeah, I mean, really, just because you're giving someone a compliment. I'm going to say guy or girl because I'm all over the place. Just because I'm giving someone a compliment doesn't mean I'm flirting with them. It means I truly appreciate whatever it is that they're offering, that they're doing, that they've got.
Sure.
You know, it's and the music industry is there. You give somebody a compliment, you know what? They say thank you.
Well, yeah. We're just one big happy family, you know?
Yeah,
exactly. We all stick by each other's sides.
And, no, getting each other and being open and understanding the compliments or what's meant. Yeah, I mean, when you're raised in it, for example, I was younger and we'd all just get dressed in front of each other. Well, now I'm older and we still just get dressed in front of each other. But then I do that in front of people that aren't artists or creative or do shows. And they're like, oh, I'm sorry, I'll leave the room. And I'm like, I don't really care. You know,
they look at you like
there's just
you're
an
crazy,
openness.
Right?
There's an open, accepting, you know, I don't know, understanding.
Oh, yeah.
I like your style, Rachel.
Thanks.
It's kind of... Yeah, if you ain't seen it before, you won't know what it is, and you really won't care. And if you have, you really shouldn't care. And if you do care and you like it, compliment the person on it and move on.
That's right. Uh-huh.
Yeah, yes, I like it.
Speaking of which, nice boots.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, you guys are fun.
I got silent because you were going to talk, so I was ready to hear it.
No, I was just going to say, Sean, you make daddy proud.
Oh, Sean, you look so cute.
That's my boy. Hey, watch it. You could be his mom.
Oh. You can call me mommy.
Oh, boy.
Mommy, oh, let the fantasies begin. Do you have any diapers?
Hey.
Whoa.
You know, I mean, there's a lot of people out there who do a lot. And, you know, when you talk about me and all the things I do, I also do take a lot of downtime. And my girlfriend is a country artist over here that's doing really well, playing lots of big venues, the Gorge, you name it. And she really has slowed me down as an artist because she also is extremely busy. And I think that, you know, all of us connecting and networking, I think it's really powerful because if you think about music networks and music communities as church, it's the same damn thing.
I mean, I got to stop you right there. Your girlfriend's a country artist. Now, you realize we're in Montana out here.
Yes.
And in this part of the country, men are man, sheep are nervous. And we like both kinds of music now, country and Western. And when you going to send her out here to us, boy?
Let me side note about my girlfriend here for a second, Jessica Lynn, and it's jessica-lynn.com. She played conservatively in front of over 214,000 people in 2014. She played the Watershed at the Gorge with Tim McGraw. July 4th, she played in front of 25,000 people in Independence, Oregon. And the list goes on and on and on, and she is fantastic. I mean, we're talking good country music. I'm not talking about this country cookie cutter stuff that's coming out.
So when do we get her on the show?
Yeah,
what do I got to do to get her on the show?
All you got to do is ask. And I'll, matter of fact, you know what? I will go and put her on her website on your Facebook page. How's that sound?
That sounds great.
Yes.
Or you could just get me in contact with her, and we can schedule a time and do all of that. And you can hook her brother up with the show.
Will she let me flirt with her too?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
She moved here from Denmark 4 years ago, and so she's.
How much to pay for her?
You went there. Wow.
You're so damn funny.
Mail order.
I like you best. I'm gonna kill you last. She's super cool. She's a lot of fun. You'll have just as much fun as we're having with her. She's not your typical, and I'm sorry, Rachel, but she's not your typical gal who's afraid to say certain things. Like I said, she's a grown ass woman. You'll have a great time.
So you're gonna love this segue. So she is a totally stand by your side kind of woman, which our next song coming up is By Your Side. Thank you, Sean.
Sound.
guiding me each and every day, never letting me stray. This place exists within your heart. This place exists to the stars. Close your eyes and feel the love around you. I'm right there by your side. This place exists within your heart. This place exists.
That was nice. That was really nice. And I almost missed my cue. We actually have a cue here. We're professional about this, people. Believe it or not, this is a professional operation. Don't you think
what
it
was
is?
That? Did you say moment? Operation? You slurred a little bit.
That's the gin.
Operation.
That's the gin. That's the gin from one of our sponsors, Yellowstone Valley Brewing. They brew great beer that we usually drink on a show here, and they also brew great gin called 40 Love.
It's pretty dang good.
40 Love.
Very good.
And they brew some good vodka as well. It's one of the smoothest gins I've ever drank, and I'm a gin schnob. So thank you, Yellowstone Valley Brewing, for slurring my words on the show tonight.
Well, and the guy in the front of the bottle is playing tennis, so I'm pretty sure I could do something amazing after this.
Well, that's because the owner of Yellowstone Valley Brewing is a tennis fanatic. So it's 40 Love with a tennis guy on the front. And we love you, Ray. I'm going to bring you a bottle of 40 Love gin when I come out.
I like it.
You like it? He likes everything.
He just wishes he could have some.
Yeah, I wish I could have some. Yeah. I'm sitting here in my office with a couple betta fish, cup of warmed up coffee, and a visual image of Rachel.
And a visual image of Rachel. I'll tell you what, where you can find Rachel. The easiest way to find her, you know the 10 Star Records page. Go on a 10 Star Records page, go to the Earthship album, scroll down till you find the one for Rachel S. There's two photos of her there. She is smoking. I'm talking smoking. Hot.
Where did you say to go again?
To the 10 Star Records page.
Yes.
And the photo album Earthship.
I don't see a photo album Earthship.
Go to photos and any albums. There's one for the Earthship.
He's right on this, right?
Yeah. And then scroll down and you'll find one that's Rachel S. There's two photos over there.
Rachel ESS. And I really don't want to shatter your dreams because I kind of like the outline you had of me with the red hair and 6 foot tall.
He was thinking of our girl Jezebel out there in the Northwest. He's kind of got a thing for her, I think, secretly.
He
just won't tell anybody.
I wear heels.
Do you have a thing for Jez?
Yeah, I wouldn't be bad.
Oh, yeah.
That's okay. I do, too.
Yes. So what do you got for me?
What do I got for you? I don't know. What do we want to do from here? We got time to possibly chat just a little bit and roll out two more songs.
How long have you been doing this? That's my question.
Yeah.
The snapshot is when I was about 8 or 9 years old, I wanted to be a drummer, and I joined Drum and Bugle Corps and started touring, which is like professional marching band, as a cymbal player. Then I went to xylophone, and then at camp, one of the rehearsals, I picked up someone's horn, and I was a natural at trumpet, and so they put me in the horn line, and then I did, so throughout my high school and junior high and high school years, I basically played trumpet and jazz band and pep band, French horn and concert band. But matter of fact, when I graduated high school, the Marines tried to get me to play French horn in the Marine band. Said screw that. Ended up going in the Army, not in the band, but just in the Army. Went over to Europe, was jamming with a guitar player So he's on guitar and on trumpet. As we left, realizing that that was a failed attempt, there was a Polaroid of somebody selling a Roland Juno 106 keyboard. And so I said, fuck it, I should get a loan. I got 3.5 years left in the Army. Get the keyboard. We went out, drank. Next morning, I got up and said, that's a great idea. Went and got a loan. Went and got the keyboard. Took lessons from a guy who's still my one of my closest friends today. And 6 months later, was in a band, writing music. Stayed out overseas. Ended up touring with a band in Europe, the East Coast. Came out here. And then you go to my website, RaymondHayden.net, and it shows the everything else I've done. But I've been doing this for a long time. Been a keyboard player for about 25 years.
That is not the same Roland as sitting in your studio when I come out there to visit, is it?
No.
Okay,
I hope not.
Wish.
Yeah, no. But so over the years, put up my first solo album in 2001, and then September Sky, and then probably played on. So I've got 4 albums of my own on iTunes, and then played on probably about 22 other albums as on keys for other people.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So we're gonna. About that time, God, there's so much more music years that I wanted to play, but if anybody wants to tune in to the station, they can definitely listen to your music. Getting close to the time of wrapping things up, and I wanted to throw a few things. I got to mention my sponsors here, but
yes.
Then we're going to do some just down, dirty, raunchy, shameless self-promotion.
Wow.
So here's the sponsors. Yellowstone Valley Brewing. We already talked a whole lot about them, and we're talking through them and with them, and we love them tonight for their 40 Love Gin. We got Yellowstone Cellars and Winery. Billings only wine fermenter. I got corrected. They do not brew wine or make wine. They ferment wine there, and they ferment some very good wine at Yellowstone Cellars and have live music every Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday night. And for ink, we've got some wonderful tattooists here in the area that come all the way from the House of Ink in Venice Beach, and that would be Legendary Tattoo and Art Gallery. So if you want some all original artwork to express yourself with that nobody else has got, go and tell them what you want. They'll sit down, they'll draw it, they'll put it on your body. Award-winning stuff down there. Go check out Legendary Tattoo and Art Gallery. So, Ray, shameless self-promotion. What do you have for shows coming up? Where can we find you? What do you got for sale? Give us your music. Give us some live stuff. Let's have a brother.
We want to know.
All right.
Are you for sale? We're buying.
Yes. I am for sale, but only to the right buyer, Rachel. Yeah. All right. So where you can find me, my name is Raymond Hayden, H-A-Y-D-E-N, and I have 4 albums on iTunes. I have A Doorway Through Your Tears, which is a piano album. September Sky, which is also my divorce album. Broken, which is an EP, and then By Your Side, which is a single. My next show is on Christmas Eve. I'm going to be joined by the beautiful country artist Jessica Lynn, and also the astound keyboard player Brooke Lazotte, who has toured the world, played with the Dan Reed Network, written music for movies, you name it. We're going to be at 88 Keys on Seattle on Christmas Eve. From six o'clock, there's going to be Russell Wilson and some of the other Seahawks will be there. Anyway, we'll be performing there on the 24th, and then again on the 8th of January at 88 Keys again. Then going to Denmark, going to the NAMM show at the end of February or January. Going to Denmark for a small tour, backing up on keyboards Jessica Lynn in February 6th through the 14th, and then everything else is on my website, RaymondHayden.net or MauriceTheFishRecords.net.
Nice.
Cool. So what kind of time we got left over there? Just give me a time.
We got a bit over 3 minutes left.
Denmark. I seen the Florida, and then I scrolled down through your stuff and seen Denmark. Dude, stuff me in a flight case. Grease me down, shove me in that flight case, throw me on luggage, and take me with you, will ya?
What happened when we did that the last time, Roy?
I don't want to go there.
Did he end up in jail?
Exactly. We did. Well, hey, I'll tell you the
worst thing is going through airport security wearing a kilt. That was exciting.
Very unpleasant, huh?
Yes. I got video. I should post that sometime. You want to do a song for that for me, Ray? Can you write up a song for me for going through airport security in a kilt? TSA?
Yeah. I'll write it. But you know what I'd like to do? I would love, if it's cool with you, to bring up something that is your audience will be the first ones to know about it. And that is, I mean, like I'm a big deal or something, right? But
you are
a big deal.
Oh, yeah.
I've been, you guys are special. And I mean that, mostly about my son, Sean.
Only but, if you voted for the Grammy winner that we had on the show,
I'm
then you're
mommy.
A big deal.
But, I did.
Good.
So I've been, for the last 4 or 5 months, I've been working on a project called Grieve the Astronaut. And it's a band that's going to be myself on keyboards, Ben Beeman on bass, Chris Tussing on drums. And it's a group, we sound like if what you'd expect of Coldplay, Chris Martin from Coldplay and David Gilmour from Pink Floyd got together and put a three-piece group together, very piano-driven. I've got 8 or 9 songs written for it, plus we're going to do a few Pink Floyd covers and a couple Coldplay covers like Clocks and Fix You. And we're going to be kicking out with a small little movie Kickstarter campaign here the next couple days and start doing shows, festivals, you name it. But it's called Grieve the Astronaut, and it's a metaphor for the loss of our space program in the United States, but also that reflecting the loss of hope that a lot of us have lost. And we're hoping to inspire people to go after their own dreams and say, fuck what you know society tells us we have to do. And being conservative and do what we do because we only have a little bit of time left on this planet.
That's for sure.
Yeah, there's only a little bit, and you know, do what you gotta. Janis Joplin said, you know, yesterday's gone, tomorrow it never happens, man. Today's all you got, so take today and love somebody because that's the only thing you have is today. So get out and love somebody. You're gonna be back on the show for a CD pre-release party for that, I hope.
I am. You got it. I will do it with you.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. When you get that CD release scheduled and you're going to play the gig and everything and do that, get a hold of me a little bit ahead of time and let's do a show a week or so ahead of that and make sure everybody knows about it. We can tease them a little bit of that foreplay for it.
And bow, bow, bow.
Yeah. You know, give them a couple songs here and there and tease them with it and get them excited about it and everything. Ray, I want to thank you so much for being on here. I want to thank my co-host, Ben, Rachel. Love having you guys in the studio. Sean, he keeps this stuff flowing around here. The sponsors for the show, like those guys, you know, catch it here. Got a lot of other places you can catch it. Just look for us, the Earthship, 10 Star Records, everything else. They produce the show. So you'll find us out there and keep listening to the music. We will keep it going. What do we got listening to for the last one here, Sean?
I feel tonight.
I feel something.
I feel something too.
I want to dedicate this song to Ben because his voice is so sultry, and I haven't given him a hard time, but it's because I'm intimidated by his sexual voice.
One. Here we go. We're counting you down. Good night, folks. Coming down around me too fast to see me, yeah. I feel tonight
I'm so in love with you, I don't know what to do. I feel tonight that the walls are coming down around me, too fast to see, yeah. I feel tonight that this life I've been given is about to change, yeah. I feel tonight